church. We've been on looking on baptism, and we were left off with authority. I don't think we got all the way through it. So who has the authority for baptism to see that it's done correctly? Who? And how do you know that? Where's that at? Where do we find that? Can we find that somewhere?
Matthew 28.
Okay. Matthew 28. Let's go there. How do you know that's talking to this church? A Christian, how do you know it's talking to his church? Sure. I know we got some sickness this weekend.
Because he called the church away here and or told the church to meet.
How do you prove that? How do you teach that?
In verse 55 of chapter 27 of the word. But the only afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, though he could down a little bit further, probably. 61, there is Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre, and the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came under.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's, if you don't know this answer, this is totally okay, because that's what school's about. Okay? Do you know the answer?
It said to Mary to go tell my brethren.
So you could probably get there that way, but it's going to be Christmas before we get there. So can we do it a little quicker? Is there a way to do it quicker?
I don't think you can go ahead and talk.
Okay. All right. So Matthew 16, and we hit this a few weeks ago, and that's... We use this example, and I turn here, and I knew somebody was going to throw this in there, and there's other verses, but this is probably one of the most clear verses. So who had the authority originally for baptism, the first baptism? And who did you get that from?
Oh,
okay, and we know that from why? How?
4, 5, or 6.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so, and we see that. Then, what happened to John? We're in prison, and then what happened to Christ?
He began ministry and started.
Okay, started his New Testament church. Now who has the authority?
Yes.
Okay. And we know Christ was authorizing his disciples to baptize, right? Because we see that with John. John recognized Christ as God and you know, their conversation. But now here we are, 3+ years later. Christ has been crucified and resurrection. And now verse 28, or Matthew 28. Verse 18, we refer to this as the Great Commission. What's that? What's that Great Commission? What's that all mean?
Sending order?
Yeah, just your authority to go, the marching order to go, okay? So who was he speaking to when he gave that commission? And this is, now, this is important. It's important to know how you get to these points because we're dealing with authority, and then the next thing we're going to deal with is the administrator, and the two are tied together. And so if we don't understand the authority part, that's why we probably get messed up when it comes to the administrator part. So how do you know Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is speaking to his church? Is there a way to see that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we want to help Brother Christian out. Where would I look at?
So I really need to hear from the young preacher. Brother Jake and I can sit here and answer these, and so can some of the rest, but this is the time to answer these questions.
Yeah. Well, and this, so when I asked you if you knew, I'm not trying to make you look bad. I'm not trying to be a Brother Cooper, because I don't want to, because it's okay not to know. Okay, but we hit this a couple weeks ago when we first started, but it's okay not to know. But you have to get to the place where you know this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, by the way, thank you for trying.
Yeah.
Christian. And that's, it's totally fine to be wrong.
Yep.
But you can't just sit here and not answer.
Or want somebody else to do it for you.
Somebody else do it.
So Wednesday night, we had a bunch of people sick. Got a lesson going to be on my heart and wanted to do it well. We got a lot of people sick, so I kind of want to do it to everybody. So I'm kind of pushing back. And I asked the church, I said, so, you know, I said, I'd like to wait on this. If I was going to teach if nobody had anything else. But anyway, I did what I do on normally Bible study. I said, anybody got any questions? Well, we had questions. And one of the questions, we actually did this lesson on baptism. I didn't have any of this down. Like, I didn't have a note to go to. So eventually, you got to get this where you can, you know, maybe have some notes in your Bible, but you got to get this where you can be able to do this, okay? So it's okay not to be able to do it today, but eventually you got to do it. Okay, Brother Josh, saw your hand up? Okay, and how do I get there with verse 16? And I'm not going to do it. I just want to know, I want you to know that you know how to do this. How do you get there with verse 16? Where would I go look? Because he talks about the 11 disciples. So what? How do I do this? How do I walk this back? Because that's what I got to do. I got to walk this back. Because verse 16 doesn't say the church. It says 11 disciples.
He appointed them, though. The place, the members of the church.
Okay.
Established their members of the church and the place for
Jesus. Okay, so what do I got to do?
They establish, go to Matthew 4, establish the start of the church.
Okay.
Establish members of the church gathered where he appointed them.
Okay, so who are these 11? It says disciples, but who are they?
Yeah.
They're apostles, okay? Is that important? And that's where I was going. Is that important to know that they're apostles? Okay. Now, how do I know that? Okay. So that's where I'm looking for. You got to go back. Yeah, you go to the church, but eventually you got to get the apostles tied in. And why is that so important? Because in Matthew 10, we have the term disciple and apostle used interchangeably, talking to the same group of people about the same group of people. Why is that important?
Because apostles was the position they think put in those churches.
Okay, and what office is that?
Apostle. Yeah.
Okay, and what's the Bible? Does the Bible tell us anything about them?
Corinthians 12, they're the first office.
Tell us they were the first, okay? And so when I go to Luke 6, and it talks about Christ, and he pulls his disciples, and then what did he do? He chose out of the disciples, which the words disciple means student, follower, learner. He chose 12 and he called them apostles. That was in Luke 6. Anybody know where that area was in Luke 6, roughly?
13.
Yeah, where it was? Brother Dale?
No.
Yeah, but. Yeah. I think down like, oh, I'm butchering. I want to say verse 38 or maybe verse 16. Tell you kind of where they are. Anybody?
Is it 13?
Now you're going to make me go look. I'm just guessing.
Chapter 6, verse
12. 20, 12. And so, yeah, no. And so but it tells you kind of where they were when you read these verses in here. Basically, they're around Galilee. That's just where I'm getting at. So this is up in that north area. So where is this time frame compared to Matthew 28?
Luke 6 is towards the beginning of the ministry of Matthew.
Okay. So we can say pretty confidently that Matthew 28 is speaking to his church. It's not speaking to 11 disciples, individuals, talking to these apostles. You know, the first office in the New Testament church was that of apostle. We know that when those apostles were together, that was he was with his church. Okay, does that make sense? Now, why is that important?
Because if that's not his church, then anybody has the authority to
intervene. If we don't, then there is no authority then, right? Because anybody can come up with any rules and authority and things like that. Verse 18, Jesus came speaking to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Who has all power?
Jesus.
Okay, and is that... is that like absolute and sown? Right? Then he says, go. So again, talking to these apostles, these disciples, his church, telling them to go. Understand, in this moment, there's only the 11 there. Okay, that's only the ones apparently that are there. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What are they going to do? Okay, what's generally that message? Of salvation. What's what you need first, generally? Teaching all nations, baptizing them. Then what? After they get hopefully saved, do they need to be baptized? Okay, so is this an authority to baptize? Is this a commandment? Is this a teaching to baptize? In the name is by the authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Now, when do people learn? When do churches learn? Well, but when? Once you're saved, baptized, and why is that? Okay, you need that comforter in there. Okay, and that's a whole nother lesson off of this. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. Is the Lord with a church in everything that church does? No. When's the Lord with it, according to this?
They do what, just follow the way that he is.
Okay, when I have commanded you. So what happens if a church goes outside of what they've been commanded? He's not with them, okay? Even in the end of the world. So that's throughout time, right? Throughout the church age. That make all everybody make sense right there? So we have the authority. And so you have to walk back those disciples. You got to walk back who they really are. They're apostles. They're also disciples. You got to see when they got appointed. You need to, you know, it's easy to say in speaking to his church, but you're going to have somebody one day say, show me. I don't see anywhere where it says that. And so you need to spin back and be able to do that. Saw hand somewhere.
Well, I was just going to add on to it. For this, can't remember exactly what verse it is, but it knew the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26:30, when they sung a hymn, they went out to Mount of Olives, who was at that Lord's Supper, it was the Paul Paul. Right. Hebrews 2:12 says, in the midst of my church, will I sing praise to them.
Yep. So he calls that. And that, those another, that's another peg to put in that to nail that down. Okay? Does that make sense? All right. So let's go to Acts 8. Acts 8. We're dealing with proper authority. I'm going to pick up here in Acts 8. So this is after the crucifixion. Okay, it's after the resurrection. It's after the day of Pentecost. And there's been some persecutions that Saul is doing. And this church is into the thousands, and now they got down to just the apostles again. Verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So what's going on?
Persecution.
Okay. They were being persecuted so badly that they left. When you back in Acts chapter 2, there's a lot of, I think there's 13 different nationalities of people mentioned there. So they've scattered back across. Okay. Pick up here in verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So what's Philip doing?
Preaching.
Okay, he must just be doing something on his own. We're going to jump down here to verse 12. And when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So what happened to these people that Philip was preaching to?
They were saved and baptized.
Okay, they got saved and they got baptized. Okay, is everybody with me there?
Like the commission.
Well, we'll just see. It seems weird. Okay. Verse 15. Now, what kind of authority? We don't really know. We don't have anywhere where it's referenced or told us what Philip's scope of authority is. Do we have any of that? We don't have any of that, okay? Right now, we're just picking up. He's going down here. He's in Samaria. If you keep reading this chapter, he's traveling somewhere. But right now, he's in Samaria for at least a period of time. He's preaching. These people get saved. He baptizes them. And then verse 15, 14, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So who sent?
Church of the truth.
Okay, and I'm glad you said it that way, because verse 1 tells us who was persecuted, tells us who was there, the apostles that there that were still there. And now in verse 14, we have the church that hears, and the church sends these two brethren down to check this stuff out. Everybody with me? Okay. Verse 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So I thought they were saved.
They are.
Okay, then why didn't they have this Holy Spirit?
They did as indweller in salvation, but they got him as the Holy Spirit's comforter.
Okay, so what do all believers have?
Holy Spirit has the most.
What did they lack something, right? They lack something. And so apostles come down, the church sends these two apostles down. They came to basically investigate, right? First four, six, is that a pretty fair assumption? They came to check it out. They came to investigate, came to hear it for themselves. Verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, as we're going through here, this is another example of lineage. Okay, so that's what we're going to, we're not going to really focus on that tonight, but we're going to see that is exactly what has happened. You got people that are saved. You got people that got baptized. You got a church sending some people down to check them out and to examine them, for lack of a better term. And then the Bible indicates in verse 16 that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is their baptism good from what we know the Bible teaches? Yes. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Who laid hands on them?
Peter and John.
And where did they come from? Who organized this church in Samaria? Because that's what happens next. And so they received, we read in verse 18, that they received this Holy Spirit. That's what they become.
Some third of the church in Samaria.
They weren't a church when they got saved, were they? Were they a church when they got baptized? When did they become a church? Okay, from where? From another church that had what? Well, in particular, lineage, but in particular, it had something. They had, well, yeah, they had authority to examine the baptism, but what else did they have? They had the Comforter. Okay, is that everybody with me on that? We got the church in Samaria getting started. This is lineage. This is how lineage goes. It doesn't matter if they're saved. Doesn't even matter that they have scriptural baptism. They didn't have the Comforter until it came from a church that already had it. Okay?
When I remember when the church at Prineville actually got organized, then that was the first time that I ever knew that, well, they actually do lay hands on us still, too. Anyways, that was, it just makes me go back and think of that, because I actually got to witness that,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Just following the law established in Genesis chapter 1 to life beginning life.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a really good example of that. Life begets life. And I mean, if you don't get anything else out of tonight, get this lineage part right here, because we're going to look at another example that's very similar to this, that they didn't receive this. So we got, were you going there? Is that where you? Yes. That's where we're going.
The contrast, and you're going to get to,
yeah.
I love the contrast.
And that's why we're looking at it. So did they have a problem with Philip? Because I got it on the lesson. I'm adding, so I gave all these lessons out to you guys. This it may not be in this one. It's probably in the next part when we get down to administrator. But Philip at one time was what? Bible references.
A deacon.
Who called him to be that? The church did. But apparently the Lord had another plan for him. We don't know when that took place, but did the church in Jerusalem, the apostles in particular, have any problem with Philip's baptizing? No. And so I would assume that him answering the call to preach and being ordained and being sent out was prior to this 8th chapter, verse 5 anyway. So we got Philip. No problem there. Scriptural, the people are saved. They are scripturally baptized. The church organizes them into a new church, New Testament church. Okay. Anybody else? Acts 18.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Kind of along with the laying on of the hand. So in the tabernacle, they got everything set up. They reared it all. All the material was reared up and set up. But until the Holy Ghost came and took up his presence, filled the Holy of Holies there on the mercy seat. And so, yes, we should lay hand. I'm not saying we shouldn't lay hand, but that's just part of that rearing up.
Yeah.
That's just part of that assembling all the material. And it's not like I'm giving
the. Yeah, it's not like the individual had the power.
But yeah. They had to in Exodus 40, I think they had to get it all set up, and Moses had to review it one more time, and it had to all fit the pattern, and then at the very end, you know, the smoke sealed the pattern.
So wasn't going to go read the rest of the 8th chapter there with Philip, but Philip goes on, meets the Ethiopian. He gets saved, gets baptized, right? What did not happen with him?
Did not start a church.
Okay, so
outside of being saved or baptized.
Okay, and one of the pictures or the parts of baptism is proper purpose. Why get baptized?
To join a church.
Okay. Now, do we have any indication what happened to this guy? We don't. But Brother Cooper was kind of going over Ethiopia a little bit. Historically speaking, there were a lot of New Testament churches. It was a strong, you know, point of churches in Ethiopia. Whether he went and joined one of those or was instrumental in getting one started, but no doubt he followed the purpose or the plan that God had. Yes.
Yeah, I know the world likes to take those and say, well, it didn't say he did this, so therefore he must not have. Yeah. Well, if the Bible shows that it didn't happen, and that's what God said, then assume everything that we don't necessarily have the answer for, we know that they did it exactly like the order that
God. And that's, I literally got a whole, we may get in some of that tonight. Definitely we will tomorrow, just to answer that very same question. Okay, anybody else got a question so far? So now we're in the 18th chapter. This is Paul's beginning of his third journey. Okay, these journeys lasted 4 to 5, you know, maybe 6 years. He's beginning his third one. So, you know, we're entering that, you know, minimum of probably the 12th year or 10th year, plus all the time he was with the Lord being taught, and then the time he spent in Antioch. And so now off he goes. Okay. And so who was instrumental in the church in Jerusalem getting torn up?
Paul.
Now we're all these years later, we're going to read about him again. Okay. But now he's kind of on the other side of this. And so verse 24, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now I know y'all know this and familiar with this and all that. But again, there's a major contrast right here. And when you're teaching on authority, you're teaching on lineage, you need to integrate these two, I think. Okay, so this guy unlearned? No, okay. He had a lot of knowledge, and sometimes there are people that have a lot of knowledge, and he was eloquent. In verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit, and he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So now we're reading a little bit of a contrast. Of one reason I emphasize that over there in Acts 8, they knew the baptism of Christ. Who does Apollos know? The baptism of John. Was John's baptism scriptural?
Yes.
Who had that? Every member, every charter member of that New Testament church in Jerusalem had that baptism. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, like when I said charter, I was like thinking how we do it, maybe leave it open for 6 months. I don't know. Anyway, all those guys in the beginning had scriptural baptism. Okay. And they had the baptism of John. And what did John constantly tell them to do?
Be ready Jesus Christ.
And if when Christ showed up, said, this is the guy, right? He said that all the time. So now we're going to pick up here in verse 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being firm in the spirit, knowing all the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and that was the custom. You could go in the synagogue and preach. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they were probably in there to do the same thing. Obviously, I'm going to assume God is leading these two to them. And expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. So this guy, the reason I try to emphasize, I think it's important to understand how much time has gone by. It is probably pushing 20 years. Maybe even more since the baptism of John. How long has this guy been doing this stuff?
Long
time. A lifetime. Lifetime.
I know about Ephesus.
What's that?
We only know about Ephesus.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, his
place where he sat did the very same thing he did in Ephesus.
Could have. But the point I want to bring out is this guy is fervent. He's eloquent. He's mighty in the scriptures. He's passionate. He's
mightily convinced the Jews. So, he's good at
doing this.
Perfected his ministry.
It should turn from verse 20. Let's pick 27, all the way back to the day he got baptized. What had his life been for the Lord?
Wasted.
It's been wasted.
Yeah.
Okay. People get saved. Yes. Okay. But is he getting any credit for that? Does he have a reward waiting for him for all this work that he's done? What is all this work he's been doing? Where has it not been gone through? The Bible teaches everything's supposed to go through a New Testament church. And sometimes we run into people and I try not to tell them. Yeah, they'll come to it on their own. You're telling me my life's been, I've been wasting my life. I've wasted, these 15, 20 years, whatever it might be. That's what this man did. Okay. You think the first time he heard this, he was like, thank you. I've been wondering about that. I think there was probably some discussion that went back and forth over a period of time. Verse 27, eventually he accepted it, didn't he? Did he keep doing what he'd been doing? No. We see him moving on, joining a church, and we read about him later on. Verse 27, and when he was supposed to pass into Asia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much, which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scripture that Jesus was Christ. Okay, so he had wasted a lot of time. But when he found it out, he accepted it, went on and joined the church, and basically started anew. We'll pick up here in verse 1. Anybody got a question? Yes.
A little comment. Now, when Jesus was talking about the people that went out into the field and labored, and then as the day drew on, more people came at the end, they received the same payment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can say, yes, he wasted 20 years of his life trying to, convince the Jews and everything. However, moving on in his life, he was able to reap the same rewards as the apostles that have been with Jesus from the beginning. So it's looking at it in eternity.
Well, so you're saying for this up until, say, verse 27, he earned that? Or after that?
After that.
Okay, after that he had the opportunity. Yes.
Yeah. And so yeah, but that's where you have to keep pressing forward, and the reward will be.
Well, it's where you have to quit looking at what I've done and what does God want me to do? And apparently, at some point, he came to that conclusion. He accepted the fact that he was wrong and that he had been not doing things biblically, correctly. So for whatever reason, because did John fail him? John taught. But for some reason, he didn't follow right off the bat. But did John have some of the disciples that when he was in prison that were still following him? Yeah, I mean, and, loyalty, whatever. I don't know why. Maybe some of them came later. You'd like to hope that they did. But wherever, whatever reason, this guy missed it. He missed that. Whether he left, who knows, okay? But the point is, everything he's been doing up to this point has not been to the honor and glory of God. Do people get saved? Yes. But does God have more for us? Remember, what's God's plan for man? Be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Verse 1 of chapter 19. Anybody else? Verse 1.
Yes. Like I said, people got saved. Apollos didn't bring God any glory in any of the work that he did.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that was when I got saved and then I got added to the church. That's what I had to realize. I was like, I just went to a not scriptural church. I just wasted.
Yeah, and sometimes you're on a journey. You're looking, and you don't know what you're looking for.
Tell someone like you just wasted. You were doing nothing, Nathan.
Well, but
for the last 7 years.
But what and what you have to do when that happens, okay? When you come to that conclusion, or anybody comes at, okay, I think you have to look at like Brother Eli brought out. Okay, you have an opportunity. Okay, so you can't go back and do anything about that, but learn from it. Okay, Brother Dale.
A lot of people have been in the same thing here. Some people have been members in church for 7 years and have wasted the same thing.
And they're sitting there every day. Yeah.
So, yes, but a week as a member of the Worship Testament Church, given him honor and glory, his word and glory, yep. Tenure.
Yeah.
So we'll take.
How much gold do you have to have a reward? Brother Daniel.
I know I'm trying to communicate to some people. Well, maybe it took the Lord that 10 years to get you in a state where you could actually listen.
Well, sometimes. Sometimes.
Okay.
Well, or
was it at least give God glory?
Yeah.
But maybe the Lord strength down into your head to where you finally got to the position where you were able to sit down and
test. Brother Crabtree?
If you keep in mind, when you're considering this subject matter, you can only give God glory one way, and it's a matter of giving God glory. It's not a matter of God giving glory.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he had certainly glory, I thought of
yeah.
Giving him glory.
So he can give you a crown, because that's what he wants. He wants to give you a crown. Anybody else? Yes.
Listening to all of this, all my life till I came to this church, I was in search, and it was in vain.
But again, Brother Daniel's point, your search brought you here.
Yes.
Yeah. Then what do you do now? And I say this all the time. Deuteronomy 4:29 or 27 tells you, you're looking for God, you're going to find him. What are you going to do when you find him? Okay. And so when you find him, God tells us in his word, if you look for me, you're going to find him. Okay. So what are you going to do when you find him? Some people stop and go the other way. Or some like Apollos, like, all right, man, I thought I found you, but I was wrong. And when he found him, and we read about him later on. So he didn't just go, you know, he had a productive life after this too. And so can anybody. Anybody else? Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. So what's, again, important to know what these terms are. What's a disciple? It just simply means a student or a follower. Okay. So he finds some, you know, and they're, in this case, they're followers of Christ or they want to be. And so he starts a conversation and he said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? That's important that, you know, the Lord's smart, puts these verses for us. How do you know you're saved? What's the evidence of salvation? Yeah, but what is it? Spirit of God inside you. And there's several examples of that in the scriptures. And so he asked them, have you received the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, since you believe? He's not asking them. He already determined they're believers. But he asked them another question. And what of the Spirit is he asking them? Have you had that comforter? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Now, did he know they didn't? Do you think God has a role in leading him to these people? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. How many people, I've heard this lots of times, people have gone to a Baptist church their whole life and they start coming to a missionary Baptist church like, man, I didn't even know there, I never heard of this before. I never heard of the bride. I never heard of the comforter and all that. Never heard that. And it takes them a while. If they're willing, if they can handle the preaching, it takes them a while to figure it out. Maybe some of you in this room are that. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? So now he's asking them some questions. So when did you get baptized? How'd that happen? And they said unto John's baptism. So now when he knows that, here's that, what does he know? Their baptism is not scriptural. Okay, it's no longer scriptural baptism. It was at one time, but it's no longer. And why is that?
Authority.
And what happened to that authority? It died. It ended. It ended with John. Did John have the authority to give it to anybody else? No. He only had the authority that God gave him to prepare a material. Once the people were prepared and Christ established them, now where's that authority lie? In that New Testament church. Brother Ryan, did you have something?
You are talking years later, and because you can read that, hey, John baptized them. And if John baptized them, they had scriptural baptism. So John did not baptize them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he couldn't. He couldn't physically have baptized them, but they were baptized in the authority of John. That's what that verse is saying. Okay, does that make sense? Because John died. Okay, Brother Crabtree.
John.
Exactly, but they didn't know that.
Why we have?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And
church of glory, we have. So the church is being ministered.
Yeah.
Church building ministry.
No. And we're gonna. I'm trying to. Because the next thing we're going to start on the administrator, maybe tonight, if not for sure tomorrow, okay? But the administrator and the church, the authority with that church, they go together. They have to work together, okay? They each have a role in that. And these people did not know anything. That's why Paul asked them the question he asked them. That's why it was asked or mentioned earlier, God gives us what we need. It was mentioned earlier that they had the baptism of Jesus, right? Okay, that's tying into that right authority. Now, these guys are not. And so now, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ. You think this is an easy conversation? You think this is, oh man, thank you. We've been wondering what was going on. I'm sure it took a little bit of time. We don't know how long. Maybe they've been here for 20 years. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now what happened to them? Now they're getting scriptural baptism. Okay. So who gave this scriptural baptism? Okay. He was the administrator of that. Okay. Okay. Now that's where we're going. How do we know that Paul wasn't just out doing things on his own? Because he was kind of a rebel and he got taught by the Lord out in the middle of nowhere. And so maybe he got a wild hair and thought he could do whatever he wanted. Does the Bible tell us where he came from?
Acts 13,
those first three verses. Okay. And if you read those three verses, there are some other brethren in there that were probably as qualified as Paul was. But the Holy Spirit had separate Paul and Barnabas to go on to do this work that he's called them to do. And so now we're reading Paul doing that work. And now I want you to notice that Paul has been given some different authority than that we saw that Philip had. And again, this all ties back. Paul's not doing this on his own. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. What happened to them in verse 6? What they received? That comforter, okay? Through that church, where? Okay, let's go to Acts 14 real quick. Acts chapter 14. Paul, yes.
I brought this up right here and go now to preach a little bit. I know we all know this, but the people that we come in contact don't know the difference between the name baptized in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, in the name of John.
And in the name of John. They'll tell you, what words were said when you were baptized.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you invoke Jesus,
yeah,
then you have...
Yeah. Well, so I have a note here that I was going to save this for a minute, but do you have to say words? Are there magic words that make the baptism good?
Never.
Okay, now...
Religion
teaches... Religion, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Christians.
Yep. And so I had the same thing. If we go to Acts 14, so I say what I grew up hearing said. I usually ask the person, just like Brother Crabtree does. At least he did, in the dark ages. But are you saved? Right before he's already talked to the church. Now you're in the water, and he asked them, "Are you saved?" I ask too, are you saved? I ask that in some way. If you die right now, where are you going to go? Somehow I ask that question. Okay. What's the answer always?
Yes.
It's always yes. Okay. And then get them situated and we're going to go under. And I say, I baptize you by the authority of the Albany Missionary Baptist Church in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Boom. Okay. This has happened multiple times over time, but sometimes somebody doesn't get down all the way. Okay. Somebody catches it. I catch it. Somebody else catches it. Go back. And one time I didn't say it again. So I get out and we're done. And somebody comes, hey, you didn't say, and this is probably happened to me five times, you didn't say all what you just said a minute ago. I was like, well, magic words aren't making any of that. Okay. Now, is it good? It's good practice. Good. I mean, yes, but the words are not what's making that scriptural. Okay. We have traditions. We have, you didn't go around somebody apologize. We didn't go around and shake their hand. Okay. Does that mean the apology is not right? Okay. Now, people grab a hold of weird things. And so when I start thinking we're grabbing hold of something, a tradition, and trying to make it a biblical teaching, I kind of push the other way. It's like, I'll make a point that we won't walk around and shake hands or something like that, just because, you know, because we are a people of tradition, right? What I've said this before, first the pastor at Albany, within the first couple of weeks, teachers teaching Sunday school or BTC, one of the two. And he's teaching on baptism. And he mentioned in his class, baptism, if you don't go down backwards into the water and up, it's not scriptural. And I'm sitting there. Nobody says anything. Except the new pastor has to say something. Okay, where does it say that at? Because nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to go down backwards. What if you have somebody who has a bad back? What if you have somebody that, you know, has an inner ear problem, they can't go down backwards or they drown? I don't know what people got going on, okay? What's the picture of the Bible?
Under.
Buried. So get them buried. Whatever you got to do, get them buried, okay? But the class just sat there. Nobody said a word, okay? Make sure that you listen for, you know, you're going to be a pastor, you got to listen for that kind of stuff, okay? Acts 14, Brother Bo.
I guess I forgot, but we didn't read the church covenant with that. She was distraught.
Yeah.
That we didn't read the church covenant, and I'm like, yes, you know, it's a good practice, but I'm very confident the Lord had it.
Yes.
Versus,
yes.
But that was that tradition.
Yeah. Would it really blow their mind when they go into, like we're talking earlier, the Southern Baptist Convention Church, and they got the same church covenant up? That'll really blow their mind. Oh. All right, Acts 14. Anybody else got a question over there in 18 and 19? Okay, so we see the contrast in the baptisms of Acts 8. We see where Paul apparently had the authority from the church to organize them into a church. Okay, that was part of his job that God had called him to do. We read that in the 13th chapter. So we know that Paul was out doing that kind of stuff. That is not what Apollos was able to do. The church sent somebody out. The only difference was the church sent somebody out behind Paul, Philip, and Paul apparently had that authority to do that. Verse 26, okay, it's important I think this is the only time it's recorded like this, but what are these letters that we're reading about in Acts and Corinthians and Colossians and all that? These are letters to churches, okay? It's correspondence going back and forth. Verse 26, so this idea that, and I remember a few years ago, we had a big hoot on. They said, oh, you know, churches writing letters back and forth, exchange letters. That's a recent thing, only in the last 100 years. Well, if you read in Acts, is it Romans 15? I want to say 16, but Phoebe, our sister, you know? Anyway, verse 26, and then sell to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with disciples. So now this is after that missionary journey, comes back to Antioch. Sounds like he's taking a little break, getting his batteries recharged maybe a little bit. But what did he do? He's probably been sending letters. Maybe not all of them were inspired that we have them recorded, but we do have some of them recorded. But he definitely came back and went over everything that's been going on. Okay. And it's important to get back to Antioch, from whence he had been recommended. That's the church that he did all his work through. But he got a question here. All right. We will stop right here and we'll pick up with a proper administrator in the morning. So Oh, this one won't take two more minutes. So, people, this authority thing, get bothered by the term and how it's used and all these things. Okay, most of you know football, right? I used this the other night and I thought it worked.
Yeah.
Okay, most of you know football, right?
Yes.
Do the rules in football change?
Yes.
When do they change? Before the season starts, they come together. Sometimes they change rules, they add rules, whatever. Okay. And then, especially in D1 colleges, every D1 university, they have scrimmages and things like that. You know what all these referees do? They go to those practices. You know what they do in these practices? They referee the game. And they take the time during the game, during the scrimmage, during the practice. If there, especially if there's a rule change, they will, hey, pull that guy aside. Listen, this is going to be, you know, they have meetings about these, they have lectures about them, the referees talk about them, and they tell them in practice, in the scrimmages, hey, this is a penalty. Okay, I know you've been doing this for, when they started changing the spearing with the head, man, that's still a problem. But the first couple of years, that was a big thing because these kids all learned how to tackle that way. When I played football, I learned how to tackle that way. And so now I can't do that anymore. And so they were in practices. They've been learning about it. They've been hearing about it. They get lectured about it in their meetings. Then they go out in the game, and what happens? They do it, okay? Can the referee change the rule in the game?
No.
Can a referee change any rule? What is his job?
Enforce the rules.
He's enforced the rule. And what does he do with that enforcing? Because sometimes, you know, you heard, I just want it called fair. You know, same with basketball. I just want it called fair. Okay. Sometimes those receivers and defensive backs are checking each other and grabbing. You can call holding on every play. There's always a shirt being held onto and all that. They teach them how to do it. What's the referee doing? He's making a what?
He's using discretion.
He's making a determination whether that's a violation or not. Okay. All right, now that's off of the whatever the rule says and the technical part of the rule. Okay, what's a church to do? Can a church change anything?
No.
What's a church to do?
Officiate, follow.
Okay. Does the church make a judgment? I've done a baptism before, and they say, hey, his foot stuck came out. What just happened? Hey, man, we didn't get him all the way under. Let's do it again. We need to do it again. What's that? And that's exactly what that is. Hey, exactly, and we'll do it again. We'll do it right. Okay. So understand, a referee can't change. The church can't change. Church can never change. The Lord already laid it out. And that's what we're going to hit. I got a ton of these that we're going to read tomorrow. Basically, the same thing over and over and over again. That maybe we don't have all of it. But we have what we need, and we have the blueprint, and that blueprint still hasn't changed even all these thousands of years later. Brother Sean.